New heading, management and or leadership. Literally hundreds of books and thousands of articles have come out in the last few years on leadership. This points how vital the subject is. You see, leadership really is the enabling art. The purpose of schools is educating kids, but if you have bad leadership, you have bad education. The purpose of medicine is helping people get well, but if you have bad leadership, you have bad medicine. We could give illustration after illustration to show that leadership is the highest of the arts, simply because it enables all the other arts and professions to work. This is particularly true for a family. I've spent a lifetime studying, teaching, and writing on both leadership and management. In fact, as part of my preparation for writing this book, I initiated a literature review of leadership theories of the 20th century. As part of the literature review of leadership theories, we gathered statements from leading authors who described the differences between leadership and management. Here is just a small sampling. Warren Bennis said, "Leaders are people who do the right thing. Managers are people who do things right." John Cotter said, "Leadership is about coping with change. Management is about coping with complexity." Kuzis and Pochner said, "Leadership has about it a kinesthetic feel, a sense of movement. Managing is about handling things, about maintaining order, about organization and control." Abraham Zeleznik said, "Leaders are concerned with what things mean to people. Managers are concerned about how things get done." John Mariotti said, "Leaders are the architects. Managers are the builders." George Weathersby said, "Leadership focuses on the creation of a common vision. Management is the design of work. It's about controlling." That is just a sample. But this leadership review has reinforced to me that both management and leadership are vital, and that either one without the other is insufficient. At times in my own life, I've fallen into the trap of overemphasizing leadership and neglecting the importance of management. I'm sure this is because it's become so evident to me that most organizations, families included, are vastly overmanaged and desperately underled. This gap has been a major motivating force in my professional work and has led me to focus on the principles of leadership. Nevertheless, I've been powerfully reminded again and again of the vital part that management plays. I've learned, painfully, that you can't lead things. In fact, it wasn't until I turned over the management of my own company to my son Stephen and a team of people with strengths that compensated for my weaknesses that it really became profitable. You can't lead inventories and cash flow and costs. You have to manage them. Why? Because things don't have the power and freedom to choose. Only people do. So you lead, that is, empower people. You manage and control things. For instance, here's a list of the kinds of things you need to manage, to control. Things without freedom to choose. Money, costs, information, time, structures, systems, processes, inventory, physical resources, facilities, tools, etc. In fact, sometimes people choose to be managed under their own leadership. Many professionals and other producers are in this situation. I myself am. Leadership gives the vision and the criteria, the larger context. Then management provides the day-to-day direction and control. But this becomes the choice of the person. By the way, this literature review has also reminded me how profoundly I've been influenced by many of these great minds and teachers over the years. To them, I owe a deep debt of gratitude. My experiences and teaching has also led me to conclude that the key to understanding organizational behavior is not to study organizational behavior per se. It is to study and understand human nature. For once you understand the fundamental elements of human nature, you possess the key to unlock the potential inside of people and organizations. This is exactly why the whole person paradigm, symbolized by body, mind, heart, and spirit, is supremely relevant to understanding organizations as well as individuals. In a very real sense, there is no such thing as organizational behavior. There is only individual behavior collectivized in organizations. So what, you may ask? Why does all this theory have to do with the challenges I face day in and day out? Why is it so necessary to understand organizations to better understand and solve my problems? The simple, almost obvious answer is that they are so interrelated. We all live in and work in one organization or another, including that of the family. We need context to understand ourselves. We need the bigger picture, the larger context. As mentioned earlier, all organizations, even the best of them, are absolutely filled with problems. I've worked with thousands. Even the organizations I admire most struggle to some degree. And the interesting thing is that most of the problems are about the same. Certainly, there are unique personalities and circumstances connected to the problems, but when it comes right down to it, at the core, most problems have common roots. Peter Drucker put it this way, quote, "There are, of course, differences in management between different organizations. Missions define strategy, after all, and strategy defines structure. But the differences between managing a chain of retail stores and managing a Roman Catholic diocese are amazingly fewer than retail executives or bishops realize. The differences are mainly in the application rather than principles. The executives of all of these organizations spend, for instance, about the same amount of time on people problems, and the people problems are almost always the same. Whether you're managing a software company, a hospital, a bank, or a Boy Scout organization, the differences apply to only about 10% of your work. This 10% is determined by the organization's specific mission, its specific culture, its specific history, and its specific vocabulary. The rest is pretty much interchangeable." Close quote. My goal in part two, that is to inspire others to find their voice, is to help you discover how, by working and struggling to solve your personal challenges and problems, you can greatly increase your own influence and the influence of your organization, whether it be your team, department, division, or the entire organization, including your family. Let's begin by looking first at the dual nature of the problems we face. Before we do, I invite you to gear up your mind for the energy it will take to really get your arms around our complex organizational challenges. I do so with two quotes. The first is again the observation by Albert Einstein. Quote, "The significant challenges we face cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them." Close quote. You have been given a new paradigm of human nature. The whole person paradigm, body, mind, heart, and spirit. You have learned that it stands in great contrast to today's industrial age thing paradigm of control. You will need this whole person view to understand and solve the problems you face in your organization. The second quote is by Oliver Wendell Holmes. He said, "I wouldn't give a fig for the simplicity on the near side of complexity. But I would give my right arm for the simplicity on the far side of complexity." Close quote. What this means is that our significant challenges cannot be solved with simplistic, little quick-fix programs of the month or psych-up slogans and formulas. We must earn a comprehension of the nature and root of the problems we face in organizations, and likewise earn our learnings about the principles that govern the solutions by incorporating the new mindset and skill set they represent into our very character. This will require some real effort, but I promise you, if you will hang in there, you will be empowered with a powerfully simple and clear combination of knowledge, attitude, and skill, the three elements of habit that will make you equal to the new challenges of the new world. You will have developed the eighth habit that unleashes human potential.